summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Tim. So oil touches $50 for the first time this year. What's your expectation following this news?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good accomplishment, good round figure. I think also the supply issues that we had from Nigeria, also Venezuela and some other places, and also the fires in Canada, I think helped, to help propel prices that far. But I think at this point, ahead of the upcoming OPEC meeting in a few weeks, that I think the 50 is going to be pretty tough to sustain, or at least any gains above here would be pretty difficult. So I think this is a good point for prices to take a break.
So a lot of energy analysts are arguing that one of the core reasons why it's above 50 is because of the low production coming in from the U.S. How do you buy into this idea?
You know, I don't think the production's off, but it's still relatively high. And supplies, I believe, on a five-year average are still running pretty high as well. And, you know, the fact that the production capacity in the U.S. can come back pretty quick. So I think, yes, there is a dynamic there at work. And I think for the future, the exploration and the money for future exploration, I think is, you know, a supportive factor for prices. But for right now, I still think that there's still no real relief of supply. There's still pretty good supply out there. And it doesn't appear to me as though you're going to get any cutbacks in any way, shape, or form from OPEC either.
Yeah. So speaking about OPEC, do you think that we're going to see some significant actions or decisions coming in from that cartel?
You know, it's hard to even call it a cartel anymore because the only way it's a cartel is if they need to increase production, because there's no one there, I think, that has the capability to decrease production. Look, even Saudi, they're talking about depegging. They're having trouble right now holding the real to the peg. And, you know, the last thing they can do is really, I don't think they're in any position to cut back. So I think it's, and especially with Iran coming on, I think, and Iran not participating in any cutbacks, I don't think you're going to see any relief whatsoever from OPEC production.
Right. So let's stay within the U.S. The U.S. dollar movement is going to be seen to have some volatility following the expectation of the FOMC decision. Do you think it's the rumor is strong for us to believe that there will be a hike in June?
Well, the expectations are still, less than 40%, less than 35% that there will be. And, you know, the fact that the rhetoric has heated up a little bit and the rate hikes are back on the table, I think that if not June and July, because the economic data, if that is going to be data dependent on the U.S. numbers, then I think that there's a good chance they can raise by July. But, you know, the market's not even assigning even a barely a 40% probability. So I kind of think that, you know, the market is not priced in. It's becoming priced in. And I think a 40% chance is certainly better than a 0% chance. But it's still, you know, not even 50-50.
So the S&P 500, for instance, they have a very interesting earnings report right now. The index on earnings report is down 7.1%. Is it really happening right now where S&P 500 companies are actually reporting a lower earnings across the board?
Well, I could tell you one thing. I can give you a real fact here that the S&P earnings, number one, yes, they are down, and even Xcel Energy, they're down. And this is contiguous, I believe, second year in a row. But these are reported earnings, operating earnings. If GAAP earnings are even lower, so let's say the S&P earnings are $116 a share, the GAAP earnings are about $85. So we're running about 20%, over 20% higher in reported earnings than GAAP earnings. Or operating earnings other than the GAAP earnings. So I think you have an issue here where you do have an earnings recession going on in the U.S. And to me, I don't think the earnings recession is going to get any better. And one of the only things really propelling the biggest support for earnings per share are buybacks.
Right. So with this possible reaction, do you think that the second quarter might see some more turbulent times in terms of corporate earnings?
Oh, I think so. I don't think you're going to be out of the woods here with earnings. you know, maybe if the dollar were to continue weaker, it might help some of the multinationals. But I think it's going to be really hard, unless you expect a real burst of economic activity, that you're really going to see, you know, any real pickup in earnings, you know, at any meaningful level. So, you know, analysts keep, you know, looking, you know, they're 6 months out, their earnings are X, and then another 2 months, they keep coming X minus, you know, so they keep reducing earnings. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult to look for a earnings expansion. So now we're going to be left if the market's going to rally a multiple expansion. But I can tell you, there seems to be a lot of complacency building in the markets amid this scenario.
So let's shift our focus to Europe right now, particularly in France. Strike action over labor law reforms have gripped France yesterday. Oil refineries, nuclear power stations, transport hubs, all of them are being disrupted. How serious do you think these labor law reforms will affect the economy of France?
I think it's a real symptom of the problem that is, you know, throughout Europe. And, you know, I think the employment, you know, what they're really trying to do is help to get more employment by lessening the burdens on companies. And that's not going over very well with the union. So I think it highlights really one of the big problems in Europe, which is the employment issue. And, you know, this type of thing right here going on in France was, you know, actually pretty serious and pretty, when you look, it's pretty surprising to me that something like that can happen in a socialist country, nonetheless. I think it really highlights the fact that Europe still has a lot of issues to deal with. And, you know, the banking sector right now is, I think, around lows that we were about in 08. So I think there's still some issues to work out in Europe. Thank goodness Greece isn't one of them right now.
So do you think the EU will now look at this quite seriously? Do you think EU will step in, for instance, in France?
You know, I don't know if the EU will step in, you know, overtly, but I think that there's certainly some support for France to help to get this issue resolved so it doesn't really cascade and have a contagion effect throughout Europe, like Spain. But anyway, I think that's certainly an issue here. And the labor issue, look, they got 10% unemployment in France, and I think it's even worse among the youth. And that's even in Spain and throughout the EU, there's a real serious problem. So, you know, again, I think it is a big overall EU concern. So I think they'll support, but would they step in? And I think they'll just give moral support and all the support that they can to France to help resolve this. And I think it'd be interesting to watch how they do, because I think it's a serious problem.
Tim, the G7 is happening right now. I presume refugee crisis, immigrant crisis will be top of the agenda. What do you think we can expect from the G7 other than these two?
Ooh, boy, I tell you what, I think it's more the same rhetoric. What really interests me, you know, is what did interest me in the finance minister's meeting was, you know, on dollar policy. And it looks like Japan really didn't get to pass to overtly weaken their currency. But I think there's some issues that, you know, everybody clearly understands. And I think G7 will reinforce them and they'll give a unified front, which is a good thing. But again, it's more of what the substance is. And I'm not sure we're going to get any real substance from the meeting.
Right. Okay. And you enjoy a weekend, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, the managing partner of China America Capital Company in Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!